Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to one of my favorite podcasts to do. Welcome to the history behind the Hymns podcast. This is episode number 10. I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. I am one of many Christians. Most of us are a little bit older, who still loves the old hymns of the faith. Yes, I'm talking about the hymns in the hymn book. I know that some of you have never seen a hymn book because you have been singing praise songs. The old hymns of the faith, even more than many modern Christian songs. I love the old hymns. For the past 33 years, my wife and children and I have sung the old hymns during our family devotion time. I have been doing it for 40 years. I've always had my Bible and my hymn book. Over the years, we have used an independent Baptist hymn book, a National Baptist hymn book, and a Southern Baptist hymn book. The independent Baptist hymn book is red. The National Baptist hymn book is maroon, and the Southern Baptist hymn book is white. And we have used these hymn books down through the years, for there are some hymns in the independent Baptist hymn book that's not in the National Baptist, that's not in the Southern Baptist, and vice versa. And we have used these hymn books to sing the old hymns of the faith. And we have sung the old hymns of the faith with traditional Methodist churches online, who have, yes, the Methodists, who have made great contributions regarding the old hymns of the faith. The old hymns of the faith have been a tremendous source of blessing and encouragement to my heart down through the years. The purpose of this podcast is to encourage you to dust off your old hymn book and experience the power and blessing of well-written hymns. I'm tempted to say inspired, but I'm not. But something, God did something, I'll just say that. Based upon sound doctrine, these hymns are based upon sound doctrine for the glory of God that will strengthen your faith. The old hymns are definitely about the words and not the beat. The history behind the hymns passage of scripture today, in which is in the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. The history behind the hymn's quote for today is from John Sebastian Bach. He said, "All music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshment. Where this is not remembered, there is no real music, but only a devilish hubbub." The quote, if you will, in connection to today's hymn is from the great evangelist Dwight L. Moody. He said, take courage. We walk in the wilderness today and in the promised land tomorrow. Our hymn for today is On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand by Samuel Stinnett. It goes like this. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Oh, the transporting, rapturous scene that rises to my sight. Sweet fields arrayed in living green and rivers of delight. There are generous fruits that never fail on trees immortal grow. There are rocks and hills and brooks and vales with milk and honey flow. O'er all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. Their God, the sun, forever reigns and scatters night away. No chilling winds or poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. When I shall reach that happy place, I'll be forever blessed, for I shall see my Father's face and in his bosom rest. Filled with delight, my raptured soul would here no longer stay, though Jordan's waves around me roll, fearless I'd launch away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Now, beloved, here is the history behind the hymn On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand, according to umcdiscipleship.org. Samuel Stinnett, 1727 to 1795, an English Baptist, came from a long line of ministers. He was the son of a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. In the 18th century, university education was not easily available to nonconformist families, those who refused to swear allegiance to the Church of England. Stinnett did study at the Academy at Miles Inn with distinction, however. In spite of his nonconformist religious stance, Stinnett was a personal friend to the reigning monarch, King George III. Stinnett was honored in 1763 with a Doctor of Divinity degree from King's College, Aberdeen, for his accomplishments. He served as an assistant to his father in his congregation in 1747 and assumed the position of pastor upon his father's death in 1758. He was called as pastor of the Sabbatarian Baptist Church in 1767, a congregation that had been served by his grandfather but declined the call. While continuing his other position, he preached to the Sabbatarian congregation every Saturday for 20 years. John Rippon, an English Baptist pastor, published in 1787 an influential collection, a selection of hymns from the best authors. 38 of Stinnett's hymns appeared in this popular collection. Among those was a hymn under the heading of Heaven Anticipated, with the title of The Promised Land. In 8 four-line stanzas, the hymn as it appeared in America looked and sounded much different. William Walker's The Southern Harmony was the first to include The Promised Land. This was one of the most popular of the 19th century oblong tune books with shaped notes. The tune Promised Land was paired with the text. The Southern Harmony attributes the tune to Miss M. Durham, but we know nothing else about the composer. The tune has many of the characteristics of the traditional folk melodies of the time. Originally written in a minor mode, Rigdon M. McIntosh, a Southern musician, altered the tune to the major mode, and as was customary among American evangelicals in the 19th century, added a refrain beginning with, "I am bound for the Promised Land." This version was published in 1895 in H.R. Christie's Gospel Light and has become the standard version for many hymnals since that time. From the start, the four stanzas focus on heaven. The singer stands on the banks of the Jordan River, looking across the fair and happy land of Canaan, a metaphoric mixture of images from the books of Exodus and Revelation. Our true possessions lie in Canaan, heaven, and not on the earthly side of Jordan. In stanza 2, we find that Canaan is a land of wide extended plains, where the eternal day is always shining. In this land, Jesus, the Son of God, or God the Son, reigns. Furthermore, stanza 3 tells us that Canaan is a spiritually healthful place to live. No chilling winds or poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Therefore, sickness and sorrow, pain and death do not exist in Canaan, the Promised Land. In the final stanza, the singer obviously cannot wait to get there. Upon arrival in the Promised Land, we will see our Father's face and in his bosom rest. The refrain gives the hymn a sense of marching forward to eternal life. Carlton R. Young, editor of the UM Hymnal, places this hymn within the context 19th century American expansion. The British poet composed these apocalyptic lines with an ear towards Exodus and Revelation in another setting. USA evangelicals and their song transformed the text into earthly and vital metaphors of the vision. Vigor, enthusiasm, and optimism of frontier life moving on to the Promised Land of Kentucky or Missouri. Ladies and gentlemen, in our next episode, we will look at the story behind the hymn Abide With Me, one of my favorite hymns of all time as well, by Henry Francis Light. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your Holy Word, for all of it points back to you. And we Thank you, Lord, for moving upon the hearts of mere human beings to write glorious, rapturous songs based upon your holy word, hymns that lift your holy name and your holy son's name, Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Help us to remember them. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, this hymn honors God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to get to know him today and trust him as your Savior, here is how. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. You have broken God's commandments, his Ten Commandments, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have lied before. We have stolen things before. We have taken God's name in vain before. All of us have sinned against God. You have and I have. We're all guilty before God and we deserve hell. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. For the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. You don't have to do anything else. You have already done enough. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states very plainly in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, beloved, hell is bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. If you're ready to trust Christ as Savior and pray that prayer called the sinner's prayer and be saved today, please follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after and coveted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, thank you for listening to the history behind the hymns. May God bless you and keep you until we meet again.